take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this morning. I want to spend our time here and this morning talking about real joy and real peace at Christmas time. So often people really have no peace and no joy at Christmas time, and many times, probably the most of the time, people are looking to some experience. They're looking to, you know, the nostalgia, the memories, the whatever of the holiday season, and for a temporary time, you know, it might bring some satisfaction, it might bring some happiness or joy into their life, but that is not true peace. That is not true joy. The momentary, you know, in the moments of opening presents and spending time with family and so on, that momentary happiness isn't true peace and true joy. And we read in the scriptures in Luke chapter 2, and we'll read several verses here, that this message that we're reading about is a message of glad tidings, of great joy, which should be for all people. But sadly, there's not a lot of that in this world, even this time of year. I want to read these verses. We'll get into them in just a minute. But I want to focus on this thought, real joy and real peace at Christmas time. Beginning in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Here we read about what we celebrate at Christmas time, the birth of Jesus Christ. But Christmas has become or gotten to a point where it has a completely different focus now. Christmas is so commercialized. The sales days are starting to be a lot like Thanksgiving, you know, the Black Friday, which actually starts on Thursday and goes all the way through Monday and so on. Christmas is a lot like that. It's more and more all the time. It's commercialized. It's very busy. It's easy to get very grumpy when you're out shopping and you have to stand in line, and you have just the crowds of people and so on. It can be very stressful. All the plans that people make and plans that fall through and this doesn't work like we thought it would, and just all of the things can cause us to miss the mark. And it leads to missing out on the joy. And I'm not talking about the joy of presence and the joy of family and gatherings and all of those things, but really joy of the fact that God came to dwell among men, and through Christ we can be set free from the bondage of our sin. There should be so much joy and peace because of that message. But so often people miss the mark. After the Christmas program here a week ago, just greeting people and thanking them for coming and so on, there were a lot of visitors, unsaved people, who were thankful. They expressed it. They were thankful for the program. They were thankful for the message. They were thankful for a lot of things, that they were glad that they were here. And I just started thinking again in my mind, you know, that Christmas is a busy time, and we put on the program and it's like, oh, you can take a sigh of relief. Oh, okay, that's over. Kind of a thing, but we really need to be on track in our thinking that, listen, these are lost souls and people need to hear the good news of why Jesus came into this world. And not just at Christmas time either. Amen? People are missing out on why Christmas is so joyful, should be, and why and how there can be true peace in the heart. And that's what I want to focus on here this morning. How is it that we have true peace and true joy at Christmas time? For saints of God, I'm primarily speaking to you this morning. How is it that we can have true peace and joy at Christmas time? Well, we find some things in these verses, in this text here, that if we'll remember them, can help us to focus in and to experience what it means to really have peace and joy at Christmas. The first principle that I want to bring out here is in verses 1 through 5. How do we have joy and peace at Christmas? Well, first of all, we need to remember that we have a God who's always, always been in control. In verses 1 through 5, we read here that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. Have you ever thought what an amazing thing it actually was that God ordained, even before the foundation of the world, that God had ordained that his son, the Messiah, the Savior, would be born in a little town called Bethlehem? It was prophesied of in the Old Testament prophets, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Out of thee, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Think about this. It's an amazing thing that God ordained this before the very foundations of the world. And he so ordained things that when the time came, when the fullness of time would come, that the Messiah, the Savior, would be born in Bethlehem, that all of the circumstances surrounding that were totally in God's control. That when the time would come, the Messiah's mother and Joseph, who were living in Nazareth, that in order to fulfill the prophecy and the word of God, to bring these two people to Bethlehem at the right time, that God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to take a census. That all the Roman world should be taxed or enrolled a census, each one in his own town. What that teaches us, or what it shows me, is that God has always been in control of, first of all, number one, the affairs of men. How do we have real peace at Christmas time? By understanding and remembering that God's always been in control, and he's been in control of the affairs of men. I don't know if you've ever felt like me, but I've felt at times insignificant, small in a world of over 7 billion people. Who am I? What influence do I have? What do I mean? Nothing. You know, you've got on the news all the time these big political and economic and social agendas that are just being pushed in this world. Nations, you know, trying to be more powerful than other nations. Nations trying to rise up and show themselves strong on the world scene. Big political forces and agendas at work just being pushed on people. But you know what? None of that is out of God's control. I don't know if you've ever felt like I have felt. I have felt, and I feel like this more all the time, that people have lost their ever-loving minds. There's no sense. There's no common sense. There's no sanity in people's thinking anymore, it seems like, unless you're a born-again Christian, that is. But if you felt like this, insignificant, small, what in the world is going to happen, remember that God has always been in control of the affairs of men. We ought not to be disheartened or unhappy. Why? Because all of these things must come to pass. It is implicit in scriptures that all the mammoth political forces and all of the industrial complexes of this world, all of the premiers and kings and so on, all of those things, without their even knowing it, are being guided by God for his plan and his purpose, not for their own sake, but for God's own sake. And remember that Proverbs 21 and verse 1 says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. All of these agendas that nations have and leaders have and political forces have and giant businesses and so on, the people who really run the show, all of these things, listen, without their even knowing it, they're being guided by the hand of God to accomplish his purpose. He's a great big God. And that enough is cause and reason to rejoice. That unbeknownst to them all the kings and all the presidents and all the premiers of this world, they follow the sovereign decree of our Father which is in heaven. God has a perfect plan. And they might have their agendas, and they might think that they're moving according to their own plan and their own thinking, but in reality, all of these things must come to pass to fit with God's perfect plan. Having that as a foundation is really what grounds us to be able to have peace in our hearts, that nothing is out of God's control. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the UN says. And it doesn't matter what the UN thinks. God is the one who is sovereign, and God is the one who is in control. That also means, though, child of God, that if God is in control of the affairs of men, and God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus, you know, to have all of the world to be taxed, and all of that was God's perfect plan to bring Mary and Joseph to the right place at the right time so that the Messiah would be born at the perfect time and in the way that God had determined and designed. If God is in control of all of those things, then that also means that he's in control of the circumstances of our life as well. Amen? Look at verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you might think that if God so rules the world as to use you know, an empire-wide census to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, then surely God could have seen to it that there was room for them. Couldn't he have? Yes, he could have. And Jesus, he could have been born into a wealthy family. Jesus also could have, when he was in his ministry, he could have turned the stones into bread into the wilderness. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, could have called 10,000 angels to his aid, or when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane to bring comfort to him. He could have come down from the cross and saved himself. He could have done all of those things. The question is not what God could do, but what God willed to do. God will always do his will. And God's will was that through Christ, this world would know forgiveness of sins. God's will was that he would come in the form of a person, a man, and humble himself, and that he would go to a cross. And that though Christ was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. These circumstances that surrounded all of this were simply a part of God's divine plan. You understand? Are you following me here? God rules all things, even the inconvenient circumstances problems of our life. And he does that for the sake of his children. God is in control of the affairs of men, but God is also in control of the circumstances of life. And we must never forget, listen, that the Christian life is not always easy. Amen? Jesus said that he who would follow me or who would come after me must deny himself and take up his cross. He said, Jesus also said, remember the word that I spake unto you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. John chapter 15. To the one who claims, I will follow the Lord, Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Why am I saying this? Because obviously, life doesn't always go as we had planned. If you've lived any length of time at all, you're very well aware of the fact that life does not go as we had planned. And yes, God could have seen to it that there was room for Mary and Joseph at the birth of Jesus, but that would have been a detour from what his perfect plan was. It's not what God could do, but it's what God wills to do. And this is a reminder to every Christian, listen, that Jesus Christ is to be the absolute authority in our life, even in the difficult times, even in the hard times, when things aren't going as we thought they should or as we had planned, when I don't have all the resources that I wish I had. Listen, God never makes a mistake. And the way to have true peace at Christmas is to remember that even in the hard times and the circumstances of life, God is in control. And he's got a plan for it. And that can be something that brings peace to the life, because God is working in our life that he might receive glory to himself. How do we have peace? How do we maintain joy? Well, remember that God's in control of the affairs of men, of the circumstances of life. But then secondly, to remember that there is no reason to fear. Look at verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice that the angel said to these shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." How do we have peace? How do we have joy at Christmas time? Remember that God is in control, and remember that there's no reason to fear. Every time that the angel came to give a message regarding the Messiah, there were those who were afraid. He came to Zechariah and he said, "Fear not." He said to Mary and to Joseph, "Fear not." Now he says to the shepherds, "Fear not." It's a natural thing for mortals to fear. I mean, we fear for all kinds of reasons. People fear because sometimes they're guilty and they don't want to get caught. And so they're afraid, always looking over their shoulder. But listen, we have more things, technically and honestly, mankind has more things to fear than caught or found out by the law. We ought to be in fear and trembling over our sin. Sometimes people fear an unknown future. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We can't see what will happen the next day. All we see are the circumstances of today. And sometimes people fear the future. What's tomorrow going to bring? My circumstances look pretty dire, or the world itself looks pretty dire. What's going to happen? Maybe people have plans and desires for their life that are not being realized. You know, is this ever going to happen for me? What am I going to do? All these plans that aren't being realized and so on. Maybe it's the future state of things. Maybe it's death itself. Most people fear death. It's a normal, natural thing for mortals to fear. But you know what? Even though fear is a natural thing, fear robs us of joy and fear robs us of peace. The angel said, "Fear not." Why? Because of Jesus. Don't fear. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Note there in verse 15 in verse 14, "He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We have reason to not fear because of Jesus Christ. And doesn't this last phrase here in this verse imply something tremendously liberating for our daily life? Listen, if our worst fear, which is maybe the fear of death, if that has been conquered, if that has been taken away through the death of Jesus Christ, then surely God does not want us to fear in lesser things, like circumstances, for example. The message is, fear not. Why? Because God is ruling the world and has the good of his children in mind. And the key to not being overwhelmed, and the key to not fearing, and the key to not missing out on true peace is simply to believe in the promises of God and not to fear. Promises like Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You've got to remember, there's no reason to fear. The Lord's in control of the affairs of men, the circumstances of life. There's no reason to be afraid. And how do we not succumb to being overwhelmed? Simply believe God's promises concerning us. Go back to our text in Luke 2 and look at verses 13 and 14. All of that leads to the fact that we can rejoice because there is peace. Luke 2, and look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Fear needs to be replaced with rejoicing. You know, a joyless faith in Jesus Christ is actually a contradiction in terms. Think about it. Joyless faith in Jesus Christ is a contradiction in terms. Paul sums it up when he told the Philippians and the Thessalonians, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's expectation, God's will for us is to rejoice in the Lord always. Always? At all times? What about in times of heartache and hurt? How do we have peace and joy in the times of heartache and hurt and pain and anguish of soul? We're to rejoice always? Yes. Always rejoice in the Lord. And certainly it's not without tears of grief and pain at times in this mortal life. But in spite of that, we can still be joyful and full of peace in the soul and in the heart by the grace of God. Maybe I've told you this before. I probably have. But I remember when my father passed away, when my dad died that Wednesday. It was, I believe it was on a Wednesday. Standing beside his bed, knowing that any moment he was going to go out into eternity. You know what? I cried. A lot. There was grief. Because my father, I wouldn't see him anymore in this life. But underneath all of that, folks, underneath all of that, there was a peace and there was a joy that passed all understanding. Why? It's not because of some strength, inner peace and inner strength, but because of the promise of God. I knew where he would be. And God's grace in that very moment in time was sufficient to uphold and to strengthen and to bolster up his child. And in the midst of the tears and in the midst of the grief, there was peace and there was joy. And listen, it caused me to have to rejoice in the Lord. Our family, we just started singing together about the glory of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness. Hard to explain, hard to describe. But in the midst of tears, in the midst of grief, there's a kind of joy in our God, in his sovereign goodness. Listen, it bolsters up the soul. And God's peace is a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds. This is why we can say, and this is why the scriptures say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. How do we have joy and peace at Christmas time? Hey, God's in control of all things. The affairs of men, the circumstances of life. And that fear, there's no reason to fear. And the fear needs to be replaced with rejoicing and trusting in the promises of God. Listen, we can oversimplify it, I guess, but let's not do that. It's not wrong to cry. It's not wrong to weep with those that weep. It's not wrong to grieve. But in spite of all of that, there's a joy that is rooted in God's divine plan and victory that's in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Do you know His peace? Is there really peace in your soul, friend? We have human sorrow in this life, but we have no reason to let it rob us of our joy and peace. There's peace. But peace for whom? Who is it that experiences this peace? Because the message here was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the fact of the matter is that Christmas does not bring peace to all, does it? It's a dark world out there. So what's the answer? It's peace that God extends to those who believe. He came to His own, and His own received Him not, the Bible said. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It was only to His disciples that Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." Look at it in John chapter 14. We'll finish up here. John chapter 14. In verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said unto you, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you." Who is it that receives God's peace? Those who believe. The people who enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding are those who have a firm faith in the promises of God. That is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of God's peace in the life of a believer. When we trust in the Lord, trust His promises, God's grace is there. Our hearts and our minds are kept. We have joy, we have peace, there's love. And in all of that, then God is glorified in our life. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace toward men. But the key is to believe in the promises of God. Two simple applications. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, the only way to find the peace of God is to believe in the promise of God. That He would wash away your sin if you'd repent of that sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can experience peace like never before. For the saint of God, there's no reason to fear or fret. Don't miss out on the real joy and the real peace at Christmas time. The message that God came into this world, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and He went to a cross so that we could know forgiveness of sins and have peace with God. Don't miss out. In all of the hustle and the bustle and all of the busyness and all of the things, the traditions and all of those, don't miss out on the thing that brings real joy, the message. Let it grip your heart, child of God, and thank and praise the Lord. Amen. That's when we can have true joy and peace at Christmas. We'll cover verses 17 through 20 in our afternoon service. And we'll see maybe another aspect that helps to bring some joy at Christmas time. And that's sharing the good news and the message for why Jesus came into this world. Let's give glory to the Lord. Let's thank Him. Experience real peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the fact that You're always in control. Father, that it was in Your plan to work all of these circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Some may have seemed inconvenient or uncomfortable, but it was all part of Your divine plan. And the political powers of the day maybe had their own agendas in mind, but they were working according to the will of God. That You would orchestrate all of those things to bring it to pass at the perfect time, to fulfill the prophecies concerning the Savior. Father, it just shows how powerful You are, and that our finite minds can't really fully comprehend all of that. But it teaches us that we have no reason to fear, but every reason to rejoice. Father, You will accomplish Your perfect will in this world and in our lives. Father, I pray that we would just meditate and think on the message of salvation in Christ and the perfect plan of God, and meditate on our Savior who humbled Himself. Father, that it would cause us to rejoice in the Lord. That is the foundation for real and lasting peace and joy. Thank You for the time we've had here in Jesus.